Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by Feedspot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, sweet. I'm John DeSando.
I'm Ezra Hoover.
And this is Back Talk. Got a lot of Eastern influence here at the table. Your wife, Adria, it comes from Hong Kong.
That's right.
And you now have a new baby. You guys like China. Also, I think there's some affection for Korea in your family. Isn't your wife also interested in Korea? No.
Listen, I mean, they are a powerhouse when it comes to producing TV shows, movies, and a lot of the times with foreign production of films, we may accuse them of copying, but I think they're forging on their own. There's so much popularity.
Are we talking North Korea?
No, God. I'm sure they make great stuff. It doesn't get out of the country, though. But they've become the trendsetter. There's some cool movies that have come out now.
Now we have a movie called No Other Choice.
That's right.
Talk to me a little bit about it. Is that anything that anybody here could ever experience? Is that typically Asian?
To answer your question, since this movie is based on a book called The Axe from the 90s.
That's a term about, we know.
Yes. The Axe, which is a double or maybe even triple entendre of a mid-level paper manager who gets fired.
Yes.
And needs a new job.
So there's the connection with anybody who's listening to our show.
Yeah.
You can get axed.
You're right. You can get the axe. And I think there are a lot of themes about the axe and then even going further literally into horticulture, taking care of trees. There's a greenhouse. There's a lot of nature theme here that I think is pretty cleverly done.
Yeah, basically, we have a really nice guy, right?
Who was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who's rifted.
He's got a great job. He's got the house. He's got the car. He's got the two kids and the wife, the dream.
He makes the mistake of saying he has it all.
Right.
He holds his family together and he's got it all. Buddy, you don't know.
He's a paper man. He's a paper man, you know? And you're absolutely right. The beginning of the movie, they show him trying to advocate for the union, trying to avoid job cuts. They're getting bought by a foreign company, and he is part of that layoff.
Yeah. American owners.
Yes.
Yes.
American. And there's something to be said there, yes, about him being ignored. And, I don't think that's the main thrust of the movie, though, but that's definitely in there.
Among the other things that I think are really nice, are great about this film, there's one image that remains in my mind. After he gets another job and he's walking through, this is now AI has taken over.
Yes.
The shot of him with a big roll of paper.
Right.
And there's nobody else around.
Right. He does get what he wants. He gets another job. But in the end, he is now contributing to what he was fighting against in the beginning, which is preserving jobs for humans. And that's a whole AI and automation is another topic that we can talk about. What did you think about his reaction? Maybe I misread his acting, but he almost seemed happy. He was kind of skipping through the factory as if he didn't even care. It's just him and 1,000 robots.
First of all, this is director Park Chan-wook.
Yes.
And he is very well known.
Yes.
He's a pretty astute filmmaker. Mm-hmm. It's a really good question. I think it's totally a mix-up.
Mm-hmm.
That you have a lot of slapstick.
Yes.
And even humor here.
Balance. It's balance. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves is some movie, you got to have balance or else it's a slog. This is not a slog. There's some really laugh out loud moments.
And that's the genius of it.
Right. And one of my favorite moments, because again, this is kind of almost an everyman situation. Who hasn't, not to actually consider doing this, but who hasn't been in this situation where you need a job, you got a family, you got bills. He's on this interview and there's a giant reflection of light just shining into his eyes, and he has to pretend like it's fine while he talks about his biggest weakness as a worker.
Yes, what did he say was his biggest weakness?
That you care too much.
Something like one of those.
They weren't impressed.
It's a wonderful setup.
Yeah.
He's out barbecuing eel. It's not steak, it's eel. Really a beautiful house. He got a couple of beautiful dogs made, and he exclaims how great it is, and then you know that the doom is coming. They've already sent him an eel, and their company is sending him stuff. After 25 years or whatever, they just
lay him off like he's nothing, like a piece of meat. And I'm sure it's intentional. This director likes to use the barbecue and zooming in on the meat. a lot, because you never think that could be you on the skewer,
yes,
right? You're next. You're the piece of meat.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Right? Yeah. And so what does he decide to do?
Well, he decides that he needs his job so bad. And what's the best way? By eliminating the competition.
Yeah.
By actually then, murdering people.
He murders the people who will be contesting for the next big job.
Right, right. And you get the iconic scene that's on the movie poster is he has tracked down one of the applicants, and he's above him on someone's roof, someone he doesn't know, holding a potted plant and considering ending this guy's life with a plant as it drips onto his head, which is both hilarious and terrifying at
the
same
time.
Yeah,
and he actually picks up a heavier one or something.
Does he? And the auntie's behind him. What are you doing? What? This is a nice place. It's a good breeze.
She said, are you weightlifting?
Are you weightlifting?
So that's the tonal stuff that we're talking about. Park does a great job with it.
Yes. I mean, and the actor, Lee Byung-hun, I think, or Hyung, I can't remember. Of course, I'm butchering the Korean.
No, Hun, H-U-N.
Yep, Lee Byung-hun. He does an incredible job. He's carrying the movie, essentially. He's the only, besides the wife, multi-dimensional character in the
movie. And the wife is an excellent actress as well.
Yes.
I mean, she's holding things together while he's falling apart, but while he's using his wit to make sure that he's the one who gets chosen for the next job. But what he does is eliminates the contestant. The company interviews him, and he's the only one they have.
Right.
He's got to look over the whole operation.
Right. And that brings, the wife brings us to probably one of the quintessential themes in Korean media, film, and TV, is the issue of class, hierarchy, and status. And if, in my opinion, in the movie, when he loses his job, he's a little upset. But when he starts to realize that he can't afford the fancy cello lessons for the kid, he can't afford the club, he can't afford the nice car and the house, that's what bothers him. Because really, that's what makes him who he is. All these things, nice things in life. Because
he is paper.
Right. I don't want to disparage anyone in the paper industry, but how passionate can you be about commodity printer paper? I don't know.
And that's what I love. One of the humorous parts of this is he finally realizes that they're probably not going to communicate with him on paper, which is what he thought they might do. And he figures, no, it's going to be like email.
Oh, boy. Well, and in the wife's defense, she's very reasonable.
Yes.
It's not your classic, I'm doing it for my wife. She says, it's fine. We'll just get a smaller car. It's not a big deal. We'll change the lessons a little bit. He said, no.
Sell the house.
Right. Sell the house.
Ooh,
right. But that,
one.
For him, is an attack on his manhood.
Yeah.
Right. And another really fun, interesting plot, subplot, is the toothache. His tooth is bugging him so much. And I was actually just thinking about this. He refuses to get this toothache taken care of. His wife is a dental assistant, and she's always talking about the dentist. And he'd probably rather die than go to this man and let him take care of his tooth, right? Because he is the alpha male. And he even says to her one time, don't you dare talk to me about that other man, right?
So yes.
His manhood is in such delicate situation that he'd do anything.
And ironically, isn't it the dentist who's doing her?
It's implied, perhaps.
Implied?
That's the dancer. I don't know. I started to get lost.
Yeah,
with some
I did
of the characters.
Too a little bit.
I think there's obviously some tension between the wife and her dancing partner, but I don't think anything happens because he follows her there, right?
Well, what house is there where he hears them getting it on? That's not the dentist.
That's not
house.
His. No. I think that was the other guy's wife.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It confused me as well.
Right.
I mean, Park moves that baby.
Oh yeah.
From one to another. In fact, he gets a bit repetitious, right? The first one is important, and then it seems how he's just regurgitating.
Right. And going back to that plot, by the progression of the character, I think the actor does very well with what he's given. I think his transformation into some sloppy, cold-blooded killer is a little bit fast, right?
Because
he goes from the potted plant moment, and then the next time he just takes his friend next to the highway and shoots him in cold blood next to the road. It's a little unclear how he's able to so quickly turn into a psychopath.
And you're right. I think it's the pace that the director wants that removes some of that character building that you would like to see.
He does cover a lot.
He does. But those two actors are so charming.
They are.
I mean,
they're incredible.
And I even love the part where he's making his own pistol.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that cool?
That is
so great. I couldn't quite understand what happened with the boy. Am I right or not?
Oh, he stole some iPhones. And I think they're trying to show that he's been absent because he's dedicated to work and the kid is not making good decisions anymore.
Ezra Hoover, we have No Other Choice, a Korean film. And we're going to talk about some more Korean films later on. But right now, what do you recommend for this film, which is still in theaters? No, we saw it online. Mm-hmm. Right. And It's I don't think you can find it. But you could certainly go to Prime Video. What do you recommend?
For any fan of new media and especially Korean films, if you watched Parasite and you liked it, then I think you should enjoy this as well.
With No Other Choice, you mentioned on our show, It's Movie Time, you mentioned Parasite. Do you remember that movie?
I do. And Bong Joon-ho.
Yes. So that's his big movie that won the Oscar a couple of years ago.
Yes.
So what do you think as you look at them?
I don't think No Other Choice is quite as good as Parasite. And some of that may be just the novelty of a lot of people realizing, hey, look, Korean movies are good too. Something that we've known for decades, right? There's no horror elements. They don't have as much gore. So it's less of an intense and grab you by the throat type film. But it's still fun. Parasite's better, though, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's more complex. There's a lot of character development. There's a class theme
always,
on Parasite.
Always, they can't stay away from
class. I know, but I think it's much more sophisticated than in No Other Choice.
Of course, yes. I am curious what the average Korean moviegoer thinks about this sort of thing. Because it seems to be very clearly criticizing the obsession with class and hierarchy. But how do people feel? Is that right? Do they just go home and still aim for all the same things? I wonder if these movies are making a change in the public thinking.
Yeah, and do you think there's a little bit of a business of making this movie to please the West more than... Yeah.
Maybe. We have the same elements, but I think we're not quite as obsessed.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't play around with tone as we had talked about in the other one. We're less universal in doing that, less democratic in doing that. And it seems that they're, for instance, the Korean, they'll go from that laughs to the very serious and macabre.
Right.
And you got to have a good director such as Park is and ours.
Yes,
all right, now, I know one that you and I have seen, Train to Busan. And what do you think about that?
Oh, I love it. One of the original thriller movies, the ability to use gore. And I think they have whatever our limit is here, there's just a little higher.
Yes.
So they're willing to just really go for it and give you a visceral experience.
No, there's zombies on this train, aren't there?
Yes.
Are they in the front of the train?
They're running
away. The regular civilians are in the back?
Right.
Or what?
It actually reminds me of a recent, was it Brad Pitt Bullet Train movie? Except I think it was probably inspired by it. You're just slowly running away from someone as things get hemmed in on the train, but there's zombies, yes.
And there's that other one of the train that keeps going around and round and round.
Snowpiercer.
Thank you, Snowpiercer.
Yes.
Where they're going to the front of the train.
Yes, the more post-apocalyptic.
They're going after Red Harris or who's ever in the front of. This is good stuff.
They're incredible. Any fan of horror and sci-fi, definitely look into Korean films.
And talking about, how about The Host? Did you ever see that?
I have not seen that one yet.
Okay, so average family living and working in Seoul, when a monster is found living in the Han River. Oh, yes. A family must do what they can to release their daughter from the monster's grip.
I have been admonished many times by my horror fan. I need to watch this.
Yeah, that is
really. It's on my list.
Most recently in South Korea, Old Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see Old Boy?
Well, that's not most recent. That's an old one. Oh, yeah. Old.
Oh.
With talk about gore, and it is a Oedipal movie. So there's a... I won't spoil it for people who haven't seen it yet. You need to see it. It's visceral. It is gruesome. It is disgusting. But it channels some of the gripping scenes from Oedipus.
Ah, very good.
It does.
All right. So he's held in a windowless cell for 15 years, and then he gets out. My final one is The Handmaiden. Suki is the handmaiden, is contracted to be a handmaiden to a Japanese heiress. Suki is secretly part of a plan to trick the heiress and run away with her business, with fortune. but her plans take a turn when her emotions start to get in the way.
Yes, that is a sultry one. That one is not safe for the kiddos. Have you watched that one, John?
No.
You'll enjoy that one. That's all I'll say about that one. It is steamy.
So it's pretty macabre stuff.
Not macabre at all. No.
That is a
same-sex relationship with a lot of steamy sex scenes in that movie.
All right. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. My church eyes. I had to cover them.
Well, so what do you think now as we conclude our discussion of No Other Choice? What do you think makes this Korean?
That's a great question. Again, that focus on hierarchy, class, there is still... Korea as an Asian, East Asian country has a lot of Western influence. We have the Korean War, American influence, but there's still that juxtaposition with this strong patriarchal culture. So really traditional ideas of manhood, providing for your kids, being uncomfortable with women in power and showing status, right? All these things that people are always wrestling with. That and having awesome Korean actors.
Yeah, and they do have a little bit of that Western influence when you see some of the wives that I've seen have a lot of power in these families. Mm-hmm. But they're still in the background. It's still patriarchal. Mm-hmm. But you can see and I think No Other Choice is a great example. I think she's a terrific wife. She grounds him.
Yes.
But he's still the whacked out center.
A strong one. Yeah. Well, she still lets him have the reins, even though she knows that he's taking him off the road there.
Yeah. So, and family is terribly important. Pride, it's universal. But for these films, I see that in some of their horror films, such as Busan, you have something they do much better than we do. That is, they individualize it. They develop their characters. And it's not bloodshed all the way through, although there's a lot of it.
Right. They're a little bit better than we are at... You're making a violent movie, then you can have violence in it. There are movies, American movies, where there's firing thousands of bullets, but no one ever gets hit. There's no bleeding. Nobody dies, right? You know,
a lot of cutaway.
Yes. Yes. They don't cut away. But we're using that technique, then you don't need as much.
Yep.
Right?
All right, Ezra Hoover, let's say we have a family, and they're looking for something different. They know what's up there for the Oscars, and what about No Other Choice? They could sit at home, you have a giant screen, and they can go to Prime Video and see it. What do you recommend?
I think put the kids to bed and watch this one after hours. This is definitely more of an adult-themed movie, not so much from a sexual perspective, but more dark themes of murder and violence nihilism and all that good stuff.
And you're going to have to think of different ways of getting your next job.
You have another choice.
You have no other choice but then to obliterate all the candidates so that you can be it. And then you can be alone by yourself and look at the suggestion about AI.
Right. And the irony in the end is he didn't have to. AI did it for him.